Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 4. We have a very vital issue to consider in just a single verse of this wonderful, practical book written by beloved brother James. James chapter 4. Shall we stand up as we take the reading together? One to go. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Again. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and they will flee from you. Can we take it one more time? Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Our Father in heaven, we ask that this will not just be something that we know in our head, but we want to see its manifestation in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord in heaven, whatever you want us to glean from this very admonition of James this evening, we ask, grant it unto our hearts. We ask for the entrance of your word that is able to give life and understanding unto the simple. Speak to us, Lord, in the way we shall understand. Blessed be your name. For we know you have gathered us to bless us once again. We come against every satanic agenda to rob us of your word and your blessings tonight. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Can we be seated? We are all welcome to God's presence once again in the name of Jesus. Don't forget, this is the year of radiating his glory. Whatever we do in teaching and in preaching, we should know that it is an offshoot or something to guide us toward ensuring that in this year and beyond, we are to manifest his glory. We are still on our book study. And the book we picked on, that the Lord put in the heart of our spiritual father to consider in our book study, is the book of James. And without any form of exaggeration, I want to say that we have actually gleaned a lot from this practical book of James, and we are still getting more and more from it. We are still on our book. Today we are looking at considering the admonition of James on resisting the devil. Devil is our adversary, the arch enemy of anything good. Scripture refers to him as the deceiver, a liar, accuser of Christians, or accuser of the brethren, as King James would put it. He's a slanderer and the tempter. These are different titles or names for Satan in Scripture. There is the tendency for some persons or some Christians to believe that there is nothing like devil, or there's nothing like Satan. I want to tell you that there is a tendency for some Christians to deny the existence and power of Satan. It does happen. For such Christians, they are easy targets. For such Christians, the enemy can prey on them at will. This may be those who are so scientific in their life's orientation and who think that Satan is just a figment or a fragment of imagination of some persons who are primitive, who are local, who are villagers, who are unschooled, and they just believe that there is one thing called devil. So in their scientific reasoning, they believe that there is nothing like devil. Some will even tell you, nothing like hellfire, not like heaven. Once you are suffering in this world, that is your hellfire. And if you are enjoying, that is your heaven. And once you die, it don't finish with that. These are the philosophy or the orientation with which some persons run their lives. And it is contrary to what scripture dictates about the reality of these things. And so, we must know that the Bible acknowledges that there is a personality called the devil or Satan. And today, it is still carrying on its activities on planet Earth. And scripture told us, for this reason, the Son of God was made manifest to destroy the works of the devil. So, he has work. We must take note of that. There are others who are so preoccupied with Satan that almost everything is under his dominion. Such people are battling with Satan every minute of their worship or day's activity rather than focusing on the Lord, who is the source of power and life. To God alone, we must direct our prayers. To this group of persons, virtually every negative thing that happens is from the devil. So anything that happens, saying that the devil cause them, that the devil do them. Some persons are so conscious of the presence of devil or demons that they outrightly do not seem to sense even the presence of God. There are churches you will attend that is so much talk about this devil, demon, that even if cockroach run on his own, say they don't come. That's a demon. And to such group of persons too, when they have all night, all the prayers are on demon. They are tilted extremely to one side. It's not as though this thing doesn't exist. There is nothing bad in praying against them or in praying or having online prayers to dismantle their works or all that. But if your mindset is so fixed that you are just conscious of the presence of demons, it can get to a point that so many things can go wrong. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so, James tells us here that we should resist the devil. So we'll see in detail why we need to resist the devil and all of that, or how we can resist the devil. I think those are the main issues that we need to consider in our study this evening. Then this group of persons also believe that everything around is devil or masterminded by devil. A very good example is issue of students. I'm not saying it's peculiar to students. I just want to give this studentship setting as an example. You discover that to our mommies who work in the health center, you can understand that close to exam or during exam, that is where most students are in the health center. And sometimes we can just say, oh, it's the devil. This devil from their father's village, from their mother's village, who don't want them to write their exams. Students can play away the whole time when the semester begins. They will not carry book. When timetable is out, they will remember Chem 101. I never finish them. Chem 102, I never finish them. Bar 101, I never finish them. So you are jamming so many things into the head at the same. And when they break down at the end, they go say, "Na devil." Not be so. At that time, you're already giving too much to the body.
And when students fail exam, we attribute it quickly to activities of the devil. Even when it is very obvious that that student did not prepare for the exam. Had an experience in my NCE days. It's not a sweet one to talk about. First semester ever in school, I had 3 courses to write. And to add insult upon my injury, they were not in the same place. If you are confident with worry, we are using Hussey College. We have one there, first paper, Hussey College. Second one, Jeba. Once you finish from a Jeba, you come back for the other one. When you are through from that one, when you are not having transport to shuttle the road, you are in trouble. At the end of the day, my head could not carry it. When I entered the last paper, my head went blank. I knew it wasn't devil. I knew I was already stressed up. Every formula left my head. And I prayed one prayer in that hall. I said, God, may I never have this kind of timetable again. And God heard that prayer. At least all through my stay in school. It's not an issue to say, okay, 2 is the timetable, then 1 is carryover. First semester, first year. And God helped me through. That is not to say that the devil doesn't fight. He does. And Bible acknowledges that. And that is also why we need to resist the devil. But we must have a balanced teaching on God's word. Of God's word. Biblical use of the word resist. James' use of the word resist has to do with taking a stand against Satan. The Greek word antistemi is a compound word that means to stand against. Antistemi. Antistemi is a compound word that means to stand against. In other words, it means to oppose, to withstand, or to resist. And when we have allergies, we are told in the hospital, doctors or nurses will give antihistamine by doctors to resist or to fight against the unwanted visitors in our bodies. And that gives us some sense of responsibility. And that story I just told you about, at the end of the day, because of the stress, I failed the last paper woefully. I knew before I started it. And I know that I have to write it some other time. I say, yeah, calculation for that matter. It will never happen in life again. And, I think that was the first time and the last time too. That I have to go and receive any paper in that school. So, as students, let's ensure we read. In those days, they used to tell us, say, read as though all depends on reading. And pray as though all depends on prayer. And in so doing, you strike the balance. If you pray without carrying your book, of course, scripture says he will bring to our remembrance. So you must put something there for God to remind you when you are in the hall. One of our brothers in those days, Brother Isaac, once he does it, he will just say, Holy Ghost, say, don't mind me. It's my fault. I did not put anything there for you to remind me. So you must put something there at all times. So, to resist is to stand against or to oppose. And this is exactly what scripture is telling us to do about the activities of the devil, that we should resist the devil. We have a personal responsibility on this. It is not enough to trust in the Lord as the conqueror of Satan, but to take one's responsibility seriously enough to withstand the wiles of the evil one in the power of the Lord. We'll look at some biblical truths about Satan and his activities. Thereafter, go to how he manifests, and we'll see the need to resist or how to resist the devil, which is actually the focal issue in our study tonight. Biblical truth about Satan and his activities. Number one, Satan has power to afflict the righteous and the non-righteous alike, though the unbelievers are easy targets. Acts chapter 10 verse 38 and Joel chapter 1 verse 12. ICT, can we get the Job or any of the reference there? How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. The devil oppressed people. But when Jesus came, we were told, God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, and he went about doing good. There's a song we used to sing those days when we were growing up in the Lord. Anywhere he went, he was doing good. Almighty healer, he is a leper. When the cripples saw him, they started walking. Even today, the Lord is doing good. Amen. Amen. Those are wonderful songs we enjoyed those days. We hardly sing them these days again. All right. Job. And the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. He went out to ensure that he deal with Job. Job was a righteous man. All that happened to Job, it was not as a result of the fact that he sinned or he had evil intention. He was a righteous man. And God actually bragged about him. Have you considered my servant Job? So Satan can afflict both the righteous and the unrighteous alike. We are told that unbelievers are his easy target. They are his vulnerable prey. Number two, Satan controls or holds sinners in bondage. One of the activities of Satan is to ensure that he keeps people in bondage. Acts 26 verse 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That is faith in Jesus. So another thing that Satan does is to ensure that people are kept in bondage perpetually. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and verse 4. The 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. We'll not have the whole of the time to be reading all of the references for time factor. Satan is the author of sin and continues to incite sin in mankind. Of course, we understand his story in Genesis. He came, we're told, of all the things created, that Satan, the serpent, it's a very subtle one, very cunning. And Satan gets into him, came to the garden, engaged the woman in a discourse. His focus was to ensure that he sidetracked man. And he succeeded in doing that. He is the author of sin, and he continues to ensure that he incites sin in humanity. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 6. Satan provides snares and traps for man, for mankind. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Another thing that Satan does is to make sure that he traps people with his nails. Moreover, he must have a good testimony among those who are outside, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. So the devil has a snare that people can fall into. And when they are in that snare, they are trapped. Satan injects wicked purposes into people's hearts. Of course, we remember the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the Bible. In John 13:2, we're told, and supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Satan came and put in this venom into the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Son of Man, to betray Jesus Christ. Then Acts 5:3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? We can also see here that it is confirmed that Satan is the one who injects wicked purposes, wicked thoughts, unholy thoughts into the heart of people to do that which is not pleasant, that which will not bring glory to God. And for whatever you do that will not bring glory to God, you can be sure that it gives glory to the devil. Whatever that displeases God is something that the devil will be very pleased about. And so anytime you are displeasing God, you are knowingly or unknowingly pleasing the devil. And that is why it should be our heart cry that at all times we should live to please our Maker. Amen. Amen. Satan can personally enter and control a person. Satan can personally enter and take control of the mindset of any person. We see the scripture, John chapter 13, verse 27. Now, after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. After the meal, just like the reference we read before now, after the supper, I told Satan entered into the heart of Judah Iscariot. Say, now after the piece of bread, that is after their meal, Satan entered into him. The him there referred, or is the pronoun for Judah Iscariot. Then Jesus said to him, Jesus said to Judah Iscariot, whatever you do, do quickly. And it was recorded that the other disciples did not really understand what he said. To some of them, they were thinking that, he's their treasurer. And maybe they give every time they find something to help the poor. And so, there are, just like when you give a standing order to bank, at social time, do this for me. So, it's like there were some standing order. And it's like, you work you have at hand, make sure you do it quickly. They never knew he was saying deep things about the plan of this man to betray him. Satan is capable of taking away the word of God from our hearts. And of course, may I mention here quickly, this is one of the vital reasons why we must resist the devil. Satan is capable of taking away the word of God from our heart. Mark chapter 4, verse 15. Can we go there? All right. ICT, thank you, seriously. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. And he does that to date. That is why some persons will come to church once it is time for the teaching or the preaching. Before you know, sleep don't come. and they hardly can get something out of the teaching or the preaching to take home. This is a person who will hardly sit down for a teaching of 40 minutes or less than 40 minutes, can stay in front of a screen for 3 hours without blinking his or her eyes for home video. Especially this kind of wonderful film, quote and unquote, that we have these days at the cold season. Season 1, season 2, season 3. That span hours. Somebody will run through all the season and even be waiting for the one they just advertised and have not showed up in the market. Satan is able to steal God's word from our heart, and it is something that we must cherish. We must fight to ensure that we keep. Hence the psalmist said, "So Lord, your word have I kept in my heart. Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." So if you are not having the word of God on the inside of you, you stand a chance of doing anything that will give glory to the devil. Because the word of God that is supposed to be a guide, your check, is not there in the first place. And so, we must go after God's word and make sure that it is not stolen out of our hearts at any time. And this is one of the vital reasons we must resist the devil, so that he will not steal the word of God from our hearts. He knows that once he's able to take away the word, he can easily get at you and do whatever manipulation he wants to do and at least succeed. Satan utilizes fear to torment people also. And fear is a very subtle weapon in the hand of the enemy. Fear of the unknown. Fear of tomorrow. Fear of death. What if I don't succumb? What if I don't do this? What if I don't? And so once you are gripped with fear, there is every likelihood that you will do something contrary. Praise the Lord. Fear is a kind of emotion. It's, may I say, it's somehow natural. But somehow, you've got to put a shake on it. If it becomes excessive, the devil can actually use it as a tool to manipulate anyone. How else do we explain when Esau came from the farm, stricken with hunger, and he saw the brother with food? Ah, I said, give me food. He said, ah, if you want, give me your birthright and I give you food. For fear, ah, if I don't comply now, this hunger may kill me. Fear of death. Say, after all, what did this birthright don't do for me? Say, who birthright don't help? Who senior don't help? Oh boy, take. Give me food, make her eat. Fear of, if I don't take something now, this hunger can kill me. That is why Jesus, in his teachings, he told the people, say, do not fear the one who is able to kill this body, but fear him who is able to kill the body and also cast the soul into hell. And this is a driving force of Christians who at the face of death smiles until their head is chopped off. They know that this person who had stand with a gun or with a cutlass is only able to kill this mortal body. And they know strong in their heart that they are going somewhere. And so, we must make sure that we do not allow fear as a weapon to torment us.
We have several references there. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Then, okay, can we, John 20, 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. They were afraid. Now that the master is taken away, hey, these people can do anything to us now. It's like our head is no more with us. So they can just easily gather us and kill us. So they gathered themselves somewhere and were told they shut themselves off for fear of the Jews who want to come against them. All right, let's move. For time's sake, oh, thank you, ICT. Let's leave that. Let's go to the next subtitle. How does Satan manifest himself? Satan is a very intelligent spiritual being and should not be mistaken for the way our home videos usually paint him. And in children's book, they will draw Satan very black. They will always portray Satan as if he's an African. Don't mind them. The devil is a liar. They'll paint him very black with two big horns and with a very long tail. And when you see his appearance, you will not want to stand under law with that kind of personality. Praise the Lord. And when you are acting fame, and say, okay, the devil is coming now, and the person put on his regalia, that black stuff with horns and with tail, you can be sure that some of the children in the hall will disappear. They will take off. You don't need to announce that one first. Immediately the Satan enters, everybody, the children will take off naturally. Now, that is how he's depicted. But it's not always like that. Even scripture say he's an angel of light. And that is where we've got to be very, very careful. Satan operates in the thought process of mankind because of his spiritual nature. In the Garden of Eden, he came, he entered into the serpent and had a discourse with Eve. Today he walked through our thought process because of his spiritual nature. So Satan misled people from doing God's way in these ways that we want to look at quickly. Number one, through acts of disobedience. Satan will want people, he will mislead people in making sure they do that which is, you know, in disobedience to biblical injunctions. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 4 to verse 5, we see that was what he did. Of course, I mentioned before now that he is the author of sin. These two personalities, Adam and Eve, our first parents, were having some wonderful moment with God on a daily basis. Scripture recorded that at the cool of the day, in the evening, God will show up and dialogue with them. How far? How did your day go? How this? Hope the animals are not giving you trouble. They are not misbehaving. So, no, it's only elephant that wanted to misbehave today. But I talked to him and he calmed down. What about the lions? The lions sometimes is full of strength. So sometimes he doesn't want to listen easily. But when I blinked eyes at him, he knew that I wasn't happy with what he was doing and he calmed down. And they just dialogue like that, like that, like that, like that. It was a wonderful moment. And when they have some issues, some stress, he will say, hey, when Baba come in the evening, I will need to relate this one to him. How do we handle this one? It was a very wonderful moment of fellowship. And Satan wasn't happy with that. He had to come in to ensure that that sweet fellowship was disrupted by making them to disobey God. So, sideline people through acts of disobedience. Number two, through temptation. Matthew chapter 4. Read down, see what Jesus Christ had. Say, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. The devil is still in the act of tempting. But we need to note this quickly, that temptation itself is not sin. It is yielding to temptation. It is yielding to it that it becomes sin. That you are tempted is not sin. That is why they will say you cannot prevent the bird from flying across your head. But it becomes your fault when you allow the bird to make its nest on your head. Temptation will come. That is its usual work. And God does not expect us to yield to those temptations. Hence the call to resist. We must pass over such temptations. Number three, removing the good seed. The word of God is the good seed. Just like we read before now. Say the enemy came and took away that seed, that word of God. So it's just like an extension of what we have explained now, that Satan is capable of taking away the word of God. The word of God is the good seed. So one of the ways Satan misleads people from doing God's will is to ensure that the good seed is never allowed to stay in the heart of people. And we need to guide against this. Sowing tares in the church. Matthew chapter 13 verse 38. Okay, let's read this one. Okay, sorry. The field is the word, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The sons of the wicked one, Satan wants to ensure that the sons of the wicked one have their way in the congregation of the people of God, so that God's people can be misled. One of the group of persons that actually gave very tough time to the Israelites on their way from Egypt to the promised land was what the scripture called the mixed multitude. There were some persons that followed them. Maybe they were, whether they were refugees in Egypt before now, or they were people who naturalized in Egypt before now. I don't know how to explain them now. But some other persons left with them where they saw the power of God. Said the God of these people must be very powerful. We must follow you. And they left with them. And as they were going, Taiwan said, Unashua say, this journey where this Moses they carry us. Unashua say, you know where would they go? Little by little, the mixed multitude started instigating the heart of the people. And things never remained the same again. At a point, every adult that left Egypt had to drop dead in the desert, with the exception of two adults, Joshua and Caleb. So all their children had to go. True lying, that is also another thing. John chapter 8, verse 44. One of the ways that Satan used to ensure that people are taken away from God's way is by lying. You are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. He is. So if anytime you are lying, you are quoting the ultimate author of lying, the devil himself. He is the ultimate author of lying. And many of us who have lying as our middle name before, the arrival of GSM can't compound them again. Somebody can call you Kabostuna, you tell him you are in Lagos. That was a campus 2 years. Somebody was calling a lady. I saw the way he was running. Normally, when you want to answer a call, you stay away from noise. But this lady was running, almost shooking her head into the generator, just to create the impression that he is on the road. Say, I'm not there now, at the road. They draw, they enter the generator. When the generator, they sound, they enter the phone, go, la, I said, I'm moto. I've been a machine. Say, God help us. Hallelujah. All right. Then, true unrestrained anger is also another thing that the devil uses to ensure that it derails people from the will of God. Unrestrained anger. I think we have actually considered that one in detail in one of our studies before now. Avoiding selfish anger. Anger is an emotion. It is natural to get angry when some things are happening. Then when it becomes something else, when it becomes unrestrained, uncontrolled, that the devil can use it to achieve some purposes. So when you have an unrestrained anger, the devil can use it to derail you from the will of God. People have killed others just because they are angry. Brothers had killed their own brothers in anger. Through the bent of sinning. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. Even though Satan is able to do all of the above, he flees in the face of the stiff resistance. And this is one good thing about the devil. Some people say, is there any good thing about the devil? Yes. This is one of the good things about him. Of course, the only good thing. So I stand, you quote me. One good thing about the devil is, when you resist him, he flees. Hallelujah. Is that not a good thing? And so you must resist him. Amen? Mm-hmm. So get me right and quote me well. If you want to quote me. We'll look at how to resist the devil. Resisting the devil calls for personal responsibility. There is something that we must do on our path to resist. You will not pray, oh God, resist the devil for me. You just say, resist the devil. And that is why we pray amiss sometimes. There are some things that scripture, and that is why it's good we have good understanding of the word of God, so that when you pray aright. Just say, oh God, resist the devil for me. Just say, resist the devil. It is your duty to resist who? To resist the devil. Praise the Lord. In in the southern part of Africa where they have these animals, hyenas, it is told that adults will usually teach the young boys, maybe small boys who go to the forest or hut, they teach them what to do whenever they see hyena. Hyena is like a wild animal. Sometimes it attacks human being. But there is one thing that these people, after much research, they discover that the hyena does not attack anything that is taller than him. Praise the Lord. And so they teach their children when they are in the forest. So whenever you see an hyena coming, look for a wood and put on your head. Your height. So when the hyena sees this, maybe this is my small height now. If I add another thing that is as tall as me now, I will be taller. Not be so. So when the hyena sees this, the long wood on your head,
He takes it as the full person. And that is the foolishness of that animal again. So he will not attack that person. So that is a responsibility on the part of any child. So if the child refuses to do this and is in the forest, maybe he's as tall as I am, and a hyena is coming that is 3 feet taller than I am, then he can attack me. But if I carry something on my head that makes me taller now, when I say this one to pass me, he will leave. So for the boy not to do that, he stands a chance to be destroyed by that animal. And so if we fail to resist the devil, we stand a chance of being destroyed by him. That is why we must resist. And so the question is, how do we resist the devil? Number one, avoid prolonging your anger. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26 and 27. Can we get that ICT? Ephesians chapter 4, verse. Say, be angry and do not sin, and do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Verse 27. Nor give place to the devil. So it's a very timely admonition. Anger is part of human emotion. However, when it is prolonged, it can lead to murder, vandalism, and all kinds of destructive acts. And that is why scriptures advise that we should not let the sun go down on our anger. Say, be angry, but don't sin. Number two, humble yourself. James 4:7. Pride is a good avenue for Satan to pump sinful thoughts into anyone. Humbling oneself is the antidote for pride. The very powerful antidote for pride is humility. When you humble yourself, it is an antidote for pride. But if that is not in place, and what is in place is pride, the devil can use it. It is pride that will make man feel that he is alone, and he is self-sufficient. He doesn't see the need to depend on God. He doesn't see the need to internetwork with others. He sees himself as all and all. You know that such a one is heading for destruction. Number three. Okay, just that two. Noted that two. Number one, avoid prolonged anger. Then number two, humble yourself. So these are two basic ways we can resist the devil. And we'll go to our conclusion quickly as we round off. One very important point of James in the subject is the subject of grace that God gives to those who humble themselves. We're told that when you humble yourself, say, God give grace to the humble. God give grace to those who humble themselves. This grace is not only for the salvation of our souls, but it's also the daily sustaining power and the mercy of God. Grace is the heavenly auction that seizes us through many dangers, toys, and snares of the evil one. And it is my prayers tonight that we will not lack the grace to continually resist the devil as we're journeying on this path of eternity in the name of Jesus. Amen. Cornetto, come and take over.